Welcome to City League Sports, the show where we share some stories of all things Columbus City League. Today we have some of Whetstone's finest in the studio. We have Whetstone's head softball coach Larry Peck and starters Ellen Edwards and Lydia Pratt. I am your host, Dr. Vince Clarino, and I am excited to take you on today's voyage. Let's do some storytelling. So everybody, let's just get a quick hello, go around the table. I'm not going to start with you yet, Coach. We're going to start with the senior in the house. Go ahead and say hello to everybody. Say your name. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, everyone. It's Ellen Edwards. I'm senior at Whetstone.
Nice. Okay, let's turn over here. Go ahead, young lady. This is your show for a moment. Go ahead.
I'm Lydia Pratt. I'm a sophomore at Whetstone.
Okay. Coach, go ahead. It's on you.
Hi, everybody. Larry Peck. I'm the head softball coach at Whetstone High School.
Coach, I'm going to start you off with the easy one. How long have you been the head coach over at Whetstone?
This is my 15th year as the head coach at Whetstone.
Nice. Okay, so you've seen generations of kids come through where you've probably had some siblings and maybe, you know what I mean? So because you're seeing kids come through grades 9 through seniors multiple times.
Correct. And we've had several sibling combinations where you get the older sibling and then get the younger sibling. Both Ellen and Lydia are first in their families, but that's fun too.
Well, and so speaking of first, right, these two young ladies, based on some information that I was able to read, both of you started softball and you were starters on the team as freshmen when you came onto the team. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So, Ellen, I'm going to start with you. What was that like coming in? You're a freshman. You're kind of meeting everyone for the first time. And now all of a sudden coach says, hey, look, you're going to be the starting catcher, right? So just go back a couple of years and share with all of our listeners what's going through your mind as a 14-year-old and you're hearing all this and then the expectations that you think are coming on, because I mean, that's a big position to be in. So tell me a little bit about that. I want to hear that part of your journey.
Yeah, for sure. So coming in as a freshman, I'd worked with the team in open gyms coming in. So I kind of had a feel for all the teammates. And starting in the spring, I knew that the catcher position was open. And so I decided to, you know, work my butt off to get there and work with some of those pitchers to be in that spot.
So now, Ellen, you just shared with us that you worked your butt off. You knew the catching position was open. Was that a position that you had played before even getting into high school? Were you comfortable, you know, being behind the plate?
Yeah, so I kind of played all over throughout my softball career. I really fell in love with catching as a high schooler because I've really grown into the role of being a leader. And, you know, the catcher's the leader on the field. You got to tell everyone what to do. So, yeah, I can play third base. I play some other positions, but catching is really my home.
Okay, so now, like, for those that don't, you know, like, every once in a while, we'll have a listener that doesn't really know a lot about the sport, right? So I'm going to give a little fill-in and say, hey, look, the catcher is the one for all of you out there that's catching the ball from the pitcher on each play. That's a heavy, you know, position on your knees. That's a heavy position on just your body. So what do you do to get prepared conditioning-wise to be able to make it through a season?
Yeah, so this year I really took lifting seriously in the offseason.
Okay. Say that one again. Let everybody know out there, right? Like, here we are, we're softball, and say, we're talking about lifting, right? So share that. No, just, I'm being serious. Repeat that for you. Took it seriously. Say that again for everybody.
So I was able to work with my athletic trainer to take lifting more seriously this year.
Right, okay.
And just to be in shape because, you know, there are some games you come home and it's like, oh, my legs,
right,
my arm. I really just wanted to make sure that I was healthy this season to, you know, finish the season strong. I've been blessed not to have any injuries. So
nice, nice, nice. Okay, so Lydia, now I'm going to turn to you because a year ago you were in the same space that Ellen was in a couple years ago, right? You were a freshman, you were coming onto the team, and here you are, a 14-year-old, and you're going, okay, like, I just want to play and I want to have fun. And then before you know it, you're thrust into a starting role and you're the third baseman, right? So tell me, give everybody a little bit of, you know, part of your journey. How was that for you when you just arrived at Whetstone and then next thing you know, you're a starter?
So I kind of worked with Coach Peck in my middle school years, so I already knew him, and I knew a lot of the older girls, so I was familiar with all the players. It was just fun for me to be able to work with Coach at a young age and just be able to work with older girls when I was younger to play at a higher level.
That you know, one of the things you just shared, which is really important, we've had some guests on the show and people talk about, you know, in sports, you want to be competitive and you got to be serious and all those things. So it's good to hear both of you talk about the fun, right, and being able to enjoy it. And I always share, if you're not having fun, it's hard to really be competitive, in my opinion. I've played at many levels, and the people who are having fun always seem to be doing better, right? And you can be intense and have fun at the same time. Coach Peck, you've been there for a long time. You know, as you shared, you know, you're talking about 10, 15 plus years at the helm there. Give everybody a little bit of insight to preparation. What does it mean to be a Whetstone softball player? You know, what are you looking for? So if there's some young lady who's sitting there right now and she's saying, I want to follow in these two young ladies' footsteps, like I want to come in and be a starter, or I want to come in and contribute. What are you looking for? Coaching philosophy. Tell us just a little bit about what you bring to the table.
Yeah, so Dr. Clarino, you know, in my time, you know, one of the things that as a coach, this is a program, and the program is not just a year. I'm already thinking 2 years ahead.
There you
and
go.
I'm thinking when Lydia is a senior,
right,
and she's a captain on this team, and she's a great leader, and she's going to help the next Lydia, the next Ellen. So, you know, one of the things we take great pride about in Whetstone is a program.
Nice.
It's not just a, you know, one year and then done for 2 years and then, right?
This right.
is
okay.
So, you know, we have a long tradition of really excellent student athletes going through our program. Great students, great athletes, great members of the community. So, you know, when I sit there and I meet the next Ellen, the next Lydia, right? I'm looking for somebody who's resilient.
Okay, there you go. This is what I'm looking for. You gave me the scripted answer at first, right? I'm looking for some of that. I'm looking, now here we go. This is what we're looking for. You're looking for some resilience. Tell me what you're looking for in a young person as a player.
So as a player, you need to have all of this in perspective, right? Mm-hmm. You're very first and foremost, you're a student.
Nice.
So, you know, we have a great grade point average on our team. I bet our grade point average is up in the 3.7, right?
Okay, so they're getting it done in the classroom.
Everybody.
Okay, they're getting it
so
done in the classroom.
So we got to get it done in the classroom. We're looking for great teammates.
Okay.
You know, as a coach, and I think Dr. Clarino, you can relate to this a little bit, right? We're males, and our softball team is made up of females.
Yeah.
And we're talking 25 young ladies,
right?
And so we want to minimize the drama.
Okay,
There's always going to be a little drama.
I'll share with you. There's drama on the guys' teams too. They just call it different words.
Yep, I hear that. So you know, we're looking for that great teammate. We're looking for. We work hard in practice. We practice hard. And you
do
know,
y'all practice hard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we practice hard. And the reason we do
this is going to be one of those spaces where you get to say some things, right, that you probably can't say in practice. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh,
coach.
No, you're
yeah,
good,
yeah.
Dr. Clarino.
Yes,
I get to say stuff, too. So
yes, indeed, you do.
So that'll be good. But, you know, we work hard in practice mainly because then when it comes time for the game, game's fun.
Right.
Right? Because we're prepared.
Right.
We've been in those situations. You know, I always tell the team on a regular basis, you know, softball is a game of failure.
Yes. Big time.
And so I'm looking for those players that can deal with failure, right? In Major League Baseball, if you hit 400, which
you're
means
amazing.
You make six outs,
yeah.
You're making millions
yes,
upon millions
right.
of dollars.
That's
and
right.
so how do you deal with failure, right? Because you're not going to get on base every time. You're going to make an error in the field every time. I make errors every game as a coach.
Certainly.
So how do we deal with failure, right?
Right?
Do we learn from it?
I'm going to pause you there for a moment, right? Because I think, like, this is one of the things I love about softball and baseball, right? So I have a son. He plays baseball. And it took me a while to learn the side that Coach is just now mentioning, which is the side of failure. Because in a lot of other sports, and I know that you all are multiple sports, you guys play other things, but like in other sports, there are those moments where your instance of failure can kind of be blamed on something else. So if you're a basketball player and you miss a shot, you can go, you know, the defense kind of fouled me, or they nudged me, or it was, you know, I was off balance, or whatever, right? You can kind of blame it on something else. Football, you know, if I don't catch the ball, the defender did X, Y, Z. But in baseball, softball, you all, so you know this, right? When you step up to the plate, it's just you and the pitcher. So give me, like, you know, Ellen, so give me your energy. When you get up to the plate, what's going on in your mind? How do you focus? You're a senior now. You're going to have other members of your team that are going to listen. What does that mean for you when you get into that box and you're focused and locked in? Like where does your mind go? And tell me how you approach your at-bats.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things I always value as a softball player is your approach to hitting when you step in the box, what you do before you get in the box, because that confidence radiates. Mm-hmm. You get in the head of that pitcher when you step into the box. Like, I have a routine that I do every nice. Time. Two practice swings, look at the bat, touch my helmet, step in the box, move the dirt around a little bit.
Yes, indeed.
So that's kind of my little routine. It helps me, like, get set, take a deep breath. I just like to see, like, what the pitcher's throwing, like, get a feel for it when I step in the box.
And certainly. So, Lydia, I'm going to switch to the other side of the game for a moment and go to defense. You're a third baseman. For those of us that don't know the sport in softball, you know, balls are getting hit to you all the time, right, because of the position and the way – and just the way, you know, right-handers, when they swing, that's where the ball is coming to. And so Like, give me, what's a big play for you? What's a play that comes to you that makes you feel like, oh yeah, that was fun, I was locked in? Is there a moment when you're out there playing that equates to a big play for you?
I love on the run plays. So Ooh. When a ball is hit and it's kind of slow or it's hit towards the shortstop, I like to run over there and steal it. LeRae's our shortstop.
Okay.
I like to steal her thunder sometimes.
There you go.
But
yes, indeed. You can give LeRae some love. We do shout outs on this show. So I got you. So you keep on going. You love to steal her thunder a little bit.
I scoop it up and I just keep running and I throw it and I love it when it's so fun for me.
You know,
for that play.
That I don't think people really understand, because I'll say this, right, and even having a son who plays the game of baseball, as I shared, you know, you have to get to a softball game in person, because when you're out there, you can see more of the game, right? And I understand, like, it's not really a televised sport, but I think some people kind of turn off the game or their mind to the game because they're used to watching it on TV. And the game is so amazing in person, the little things that you're speaking to about big plays. So now I'm going to double down on that question. Ball gets hit to third. Is it personal for you when it's a grounder to make sure the person
yes.
doesn't get me? So tell me a little bit about that, because I like that's the part that I love. It has to be personal to some degree. So do you feel that moment, like, if it comes to me, you're not getting a base hit? Is that your energy?
Yeah, usually. So third base is called the hot corner.
Okay.
And so sometimes I'm getting down in my stance, and then Lena pitches. She's
okay.
our pitcher. She pitches it, and then I blink, and the ball's right at me.
Right.
So I take it, like, I take a breath, and I pull myself together, and I just
scoop
the ball and throw it.
Have you ever had a runner beat you to first?
Yes.
You have?
We played Kilbourne, I think, and their catcher, she was extremely fast.
Okay.
And so she hit me a ground ball, and I wasn't fast enough, and right when I scooped it, she was at the base.
Okay,
so
okay.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Clare, I'd jump in here just
Certainly,
real
please.
Quick. You know, baseball and softball look the same.
Yes.
But they're not.
Right.
I mean, softball, we play on a smaller diamond.
Mm-hmm.
We play on a dirt infield. So that ball that gets hit to Lydia,
mm-hmm.
it's not slowing down.
That's right.
Right? You know, grass will slow it down a little bit. So, you know, she's exactly right on that hot corner. And I think, you know, third base, you either make the play or you don't make the play.
Certainly.
The base paths are shorter.
Okay.
Right? So that quick runner, I mean, softball's an unforgiving game in many ways. If you hesitate, you're just a little slow.
Okay.
Runner safe. Batter runner safe. And
right.
so, yeah. And I think that a lot of people don't realize it. It looks like the same game, but it's a much quicker game. It's a much more unforgiving game. You know, you bobble the ball, the batter runner safe.
Certainly.
So, you know, in baseball, you get a chance, right? And baseball's a great game.
Yeah,
no
mistake. And I get it. And I appreciate you sharing that for our listeners and people who don't understand, you know, the small things that make the sports different, right? Because there's going to be everybody knows three strikes and three outs and all, you know, like people know those fundamental pieces of it. But you're right. You know, when you talk about the length of the bases and how things are coming at you, that makes a big difference. So, coach, speak to us now. Share with everyone a little bit about preparation. Like, so when you said a little while ago, you said you work hard. When does the season kind of begin? When does working hard start for Whetstone softball? Right. So give us some thoughts on that.
Yeah. For Whetstone softball, probably never starts and ends. Mm-hmm. To be honest, you know, both Ellen and Lydia play summer softball, so there's summer softball, travel ball that we have a lot of players that are active in. We start to condition generally in November. We have a lot of multi-sport athletes,
These young ladies are multi-sport athletes.
Yep, we kind of defer to fall sports, right? A lot of our players play volleyball. A lot of our players play soccer. So kind of don't really do a lot there because I don't want to get in the way of those programs.
Right.
In December, January, we are earnestly conditioning. We are in the gym doing what's known as open gym. So it's kind of just an unstructured activity, kind of work on getting our arms in shape. Sure. And then the season officially starts like towards the end of February, like somewhere around February 20, 22nd.
Okay.
And then we practice every day. We're in the gym, and we love to get out of the gym as soon as the weather lets us get out. But, you know, we're in this, the season is a very compressed season, and we're 6 days a week when it comes right down to it. You know, we have games on Saturday, games every day of the week, and now with the weather, games every day of the week.
So this is to either one of you. I want to hear from both of you, but I'll start off. So, like Coach is saying, we work hard. I looked at you all. You all said you work hard. What is that? What does working hard look like to you? What does that mean?
For me, working hard just means when you step on the field, when you put your cleats on for practice, you're focused. You're serious. You're not messing around. You're in that softball mentality, your phone's put away, like just like focusing on the game. And we have a lot of like discussions about softball, like talking about plays. Like we'll talk about the last game, like what we can do better. And for me too, that also means like listening to Coach Peck when he's talking and like really like thinking about, okay, what could I have done better?
Nice. I mean, you shared something that I think all coaches, like I think every coach would love to take you as a senior and just say, insert Ellen into my program, because you're absolutely right. You know, when I was a young guy, when Coach was a young guy, when we were kids growing up and there weren't cell phones and all these other things that can be a part of coaching distractions, right? For us, that's what a coach would say. A cell phone, you know, and getting kids to focus. And having someone now as a senior who is saying like, hey, this is the standard, right? The standard is we're putting all those things away and we're locking in. But I want to know a little bit more about the rigor of practice, right? So is it like intense? Is it fierce? Is there some competition within the team? A friendly, you know, energy and competition? Is there some of that within? Do you feel that as a player, or is that not there yet for you?
I feel like there's definitely some competition between some players, but we have a lot of fun too at practice.
Okay.
We're serious, and Lena, she brings her speaker, so we listen to some music sometimes.
Nice. Okay.
But we're definitely focused.
Tell me what we're listening to. What's on the speaker? You can say that. What's on the speaker when you're getting a chance to get it going here?
Ellen and Lena love Harry Styles and One Direction.
There's definitely
a wide variety on that playlist because she takes recommendations, but we make sure that there's some Taylor Swift on there some 1D. But you know, we also got some rap going on, you know.
Yeah,
old
okay.
songs.
So in that energy, that brings a good complex of price. And trust me, that is common across the board, whether you walk into a basketball gym. You know, I know some coaches who, you know, I remember I was watching a youth organization, football, Pee Wee, And this coach was getting out, and he had all this equipment. Next thing I know, he had like these speakers, and I'm going, is he going to a concert or something? You know what I mean? And next thing I know, I see them practicing. And so music is one of those pieces that can just help motivate us and can find a different way to inspire us, relax us, and all those beautiful things. So you guys got a good playlist going. There's a friendly competition. Coach, do you see that earlier? You talked about drama, and I'm here to share with you, and you all know this, but drama's on every team, right? I mean, whether it's, you know, young women playing or a co-ed team or a group of boys playing, whatever it may be, you know, that carries from sport to sport to sport, regardless of what it is. And so when do you know as a coach I have to step in? Because there has to be healthy competition amongst the team in order for the team to get better, right? So is there a time period for you when you think, you know what, maybe I need to step in here? You talked a little bit about that earlier.
Well, everything we do, we try to build a piece of competition into it. Mm. You know, when we're conditioning, you know, we end the and actually when we're in the gym practicing, right, we end up with, you know, running, right?
Okay.
And we have relays, and I think you start seeing that healthy competition of, you know, which team, you know, we divide up in five people in a line.
Yeah.
We do it with hitting. Mm-hmm. We do it with fielding. You know, I think as a coach, I always want to put a little competition in there. And as Lydia said, it's friendly.
Right.
You know, it's we're all on the team.
That's right. That's right. At the end of the day, you're all Whetstone softball.
Right. So, you know, we work on base running, right? And
nice.
You do a drill where you have a person starting at home and a person at second.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're going to taking two bases,
doing,
right?
The relays,
doing the relays, I can see it. I can see it in 95% of our players. They don't want to lose.
That's
and
good
it's just
stuff.
You know, it's all fun. And but as a coach, and this team, you know, this year's team at Whetstone is special. They lead themselves. I don't really have to step in a lot.
Okay.
You know, we talked a little bit about the speaker, which, you know, I think a lot of coaches and would think that's a distraction. I will say it's not unusual that when we are talking about a first and third play or whatever, Ellen, Lydia, Lena, Lorraine, any of the leaders on the team go over and turn the speaker down.
Oh, nice.
And then
we
get done talking about the play,
yeah.
And they
right.
go over, and then I have to listen to Harry Styles, and I'm starting to like Harry Styles.
There you go. Okay, so
that was not necessarily what my, you know, my music choice would be, but I like his new song. It's starting to grow on me because I hear it
okay.
five times every practice.
There you
right?
go. Okay. Well, yeah. When I leave here, I'm going to go search for Harry Styles and yeah. see if I can't find me a song to tune into.
Get his new one.
There you go.
His new single.
His new single. Got you. Okay. That's the one I'm going to search for then. And it's nice when you're speaking about practice, right? It's nice to have that leadership, somebody who's there who gets it and understands. So Ellen, I want to turn to you. I'm going to ask you about a part of your experience that Lydia won't even really be able to relate to right now, right? And I want to go back to the COVID year. So I was reading an article on you, and it was special because you said, you know, like instantly you felt for the seniors on the team who weren't going to get a chance to come out and compete again. And so like kind of share with everybody like what was that like for you? And then now being a senior, you know, and just appreciating it and kind of seeing the season and having everything come full circle for you. Like give everybody a little bit of that journey. And then now you're on the other side and you're a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And right. And so now, you know, you're counting down and games. Right. And things are about right. And you're allowed to cry on here. We cry on this show. Yes. You know, you know what I mean? Because this is, you know, for a senior. And I'll share. I was talking to a basketball coach who recently, you know, they had a good run this season. I'm not calling the school out. But one of the things that they said was when the season was over, you know, like everyone was crying. And I cried my senior year. I'll be honest. I don't have a problem with saying that. I graduated from Columbus Walnut Ridge. And I remember our last basketball game. And when we lost, I cried. And I'm going, oh, man, you know, so it's tough to see it's all over. But give a little bit about losing the season, you know, winning, you know, guys, you won the city championship. And so now here you sit today. Give us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah. So I will say, as I reflect back on that moment, like I think about how sad I was, and I was only a sophomore.
Nice, right? Okay.
Like I was doing T-work in the garage with my dad, and I'm like, what's the point of this? We're not playing. Like,
right.
We didn't even know if we were going to get to play this summer. I mean, it was heartbreaking, but I do think that our recovery coming back was incredible. We won the city championship my freshman year, sophomore year is canceled. My junior year, we came back even stronger than before, and we won the city championship again.
Nice, nice. You mentioned something just now, and so this one portion of the episode, I'm going to force my son to listen to. You said you were doing some tea work in the garage. I love it. So, you know, me and him will do some tea work in the backyard. But as a hitter, so Lydia, you know, is that a part of your routine, getting in good sessions in tea work, and then tell everybody kind of like what. So a person who doesn't know anything about softball, tell them what T-work is.
T-work is where you set up a net, a softball or baseball net, and
okay.
you have a little tee. It's kind of like a little stick that you just place the ball on top of, and you just get your bat, and I do it by myself, and Ellen does it, obviously, and you just hit the ball and take a couple hours or 30 minutes, and you just get your work in.
Lydia, for people at home, you can't see, Lydia's mom is here. I love that answer, just so you know, right? You take a couple of hours at tee work. You know, that's the embassy. I don't think people understand when you're trying to be a part of something special, when you're trying to build a championship, when you're trying to have that tradition, it takes not only the individual work. I mean, it takes not just, you know, the teamwork, but it takes the individuals to kind of have it. You know, I'm going to do my part to make sure I improve and get better. So I want to turn to you for a second again, Ellen, and talk about catching. Mm-hmm. Do you tell me your name again? What's the pitcher's and starting pitcher's name?
Melina Spropoulos.
Okay. Do you all get together and do some work from time to time, or how do you all, how do you all get in sync with each other? Because that's probably one of the most important relationships in softball is the pitcher and catcher. So how do you all get in sync and prepared?
Yeah, I definitely agree that pitcher-catcher relationship is so important in the game of softball. The specific term for it is called a battery.
Battery.
So, yes. Okay. I did learn that my freshman year.
Nice.
And just our relationship has grown so much. Last year, she came in as a pitcher, and we kind of were uncertain about who was going to be our starting pitcher. And she put in the work in the off season, and she came in, and I was like, yeah, like, I want to catch for this girl.
There you go. Okay.
And so she ended up being our starter, our go-to last season, and she was awesome. And whenever we do, so we'll break up and we'll do pitcher-catcher work. Like, I'm like, Lena, come on.
There you go.
We just know, like, we're working together. And just because as a catcher, you need to call signs.
Certainly.
Some teams do it differently. But just being able to work together and know what she can throw, like, what she feels comfortable with. And then also, like, going out and talking to her, taking the time out during the game and talking with her. Like, whenever we're struggling a little bit and I just got to go out and, like, know exactly what to say. Like, it's
right.
Okay. Like,
nice.
You're getting through it. Like, just having that relationship is so important.
Can you you're really in tune. You can tell then when you think you need to go out and have a quick session.
For sure. I can read, like, having relationships with someone, you're able to read their emotions.
Oh, nice.
And when I see her out there, you know, sometimes it's hard as a pitcher to be out there and carry that confidence because everyone's watching
you. That's right. Yes, indeed.
You're in charge of the show. It's like being a catcher, I think you have to do a lot of that behind the scenes work.
Okay. So now I'm going to ask you, hold on one second, Coach, because I'm going to ask you, and they're also giving me a signal. So we're going to keep going for, I think we got some time here. But I want to know, as a catcher, one of the big plays that I've always been told is obviously when you have a runner on base and they're trying to steal. So do you take that personal? Is that like somebody trying to steal on you? Is that because I hear coaches say, like, hi, you know, hey, we can steal on this catcher. They don't have a strong arm. I don't know if you've ever heard anyone say that, right? But I hear that said out there. So is that something you take personal? Like, if you see a runner on first, are you saying to yourself, I dare you to try to steal?
No, for sure. That definitely is something that I've worked on for 4 years is getting that strong arm. And I'll see runners at first, and I'm like, we have my first baseman and I, we work on, like, pickoff plays. If they get a lead too far,
right,
I'm throwing it.
Okay.
It's just something that, like, being confident into, like, being able to throw it down, like, in your warm-up, like, showing the rest of the team, hey,
that's
I got an arm.
I can throw it down. There
I got
go.
A cannon.
Let them know. That's nice to hear. So I am getting the signal that we have to wrap up here, and I told you the time would go fast, but I think the best way for us to conclude is sort of how we started. You two young ladies are, you know, great examples of what we're trying to do here in Columbus City Schools. You're great examples for Whetstone softball. We didn't get a chance to really dive too deeply into some of the other sports and things that you play, but what I want you to share now for, like, that's all the time we have today on WCBE 90.5 FM. To hear the full show, you can find the City League Sports Podcast on Spotify, Apple, or whatever platform you prefer to listen to your favorite podcast. You can also follow us on Instagram at City League Sports 614. Until next time, I'm Dr. Vince Clarno, and thanks for listening.